are listening to How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm Madison from the SBDC team, and today we'll be discussing branding. Our guest today is Gabby Blades of Blades Creative, and the discussion will be led by one of our counselors, Josh Brown.
And today we've got Gabby Blades with us of Blades Creative. I can't say enough great things about Gabby. I've had the good fortune to know her for 3 years now. She started here at the incubator on the North Shore, just around the corner from us, and watching her grow and flourish, go through all the challenges of business startup, but then all of the greatness of getting those big sales and getting the big clients. That has always just been a fantastic thing to watch. So Gabby, thanks for stepping in today.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about Blades Creative, some of your history, where you are now, and where you think the business is going to be going.
Okay, Blades Creative Design Studio now. So I've rebranded a little bit and I've added Design Studio to the name just for growth reasons. Started about 6 years ago this July, which is crazy. I ended up starting Blades Creative Design Studio when I was very young and had nothing to lose. I had low bills. It doesn't cost a lot to be a graphic designer in the beginning, and I couldn't find a job that I wanted. I was lucky enough to have a part-time job with the city of Chattanooga that sustained me and like the low amount of bills that I had. Because that was part-time, I was able to pick up other jobs on the side. I started to get well-known as a designer in town. I was going to a lot of community meetings and getting hired for side jobs. And then I got a bigger contract with Launch Chattanooga at the time. I kind of went through the program accidentally, auditing it, and realized I was also an entrepreneur in a way. It was about a year later, which was a very long year for me because I was doing so many things. I was kind of in limbo, figuring out where I was going because I knew my city contract was going to end.
You heard this tick, 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 tick in the back of your brain.
Of course, yes. And you know me, I'm a planner. All I could think was like, what's next, what's next, what's next? I know this isn't going to last forever. I went ahead and got my business license, and I think it was my 24th birthday that I signed it. Because I'm very much a milestone person, I printed out the paperwork on my birthday, signed it, sent it in, and so my business birthday is actually the same as my birthday. It took 6 more months for me to brand myself, and then it took probably about 6 more months to take my business seriously. I had been advertising it in a way and doing trade shows, which were not my favorite, not the best way for a graphic designer to get work, but in the beginning, you do like whatever you can. I was being offered jobs, but nothing was working out. I think it took me moving into an office space to take myself seriously. So
you feel like you always had that fallback that you could find another hustle or a side gig, but
yes,
you really needed to step in and jump in with both feet.
Right. It became the point of saying, you're either going to commit to this or you're going to get a full-time job. I love to tell this story. I was working at my dresser in my bedroom for the first year and a half, basically, listening to Being Boss podcast, figuring out how I can move forward. And that podcast specifically really like inspired me to continue to do what I was doing and realize like, oh my God, I'm taking on all of this work. I'm working for myself full time. I can do this. I can continue to do this. And I secretly wanted to get an office here at the incubator, and I didn't tell anybody. And then one day I came and looked at offices and I thought, if there's an office with windows and it's in my budget, I'm doing it. And so I ended up committing that day. I only saw one office. It was the office I was in for 3 years, and that was my office. And I loved that office. That was when I really felt Blades Creative was real, because I had an actual location and I had to tell people about it.
You had a business address.
I had a business address where people could mail things to me and send checks to me. That really made it real for me.
You had to make your bed and then leave the house to go to the office.
Right, yes.
It wasn't, you had to make your bed to work at your bed.
Right, because back then it was becoming an issue that I would procrastinate with cleaning, which a lot of people do. Now I'll just let my house be messy and I put the work first. It's different now.
It's a different thing.
Yeah, I'm really good at working from home at this point.
That was all set up. Where do you see your business going the next couple of years? You said rebrand. What does that mean, and where do you want to be when 2 years, or when you grow up, or both?
Well, I don't think anybody ever grows up. That's such a cliche thing to say. But I think now that I'm almost 30, every year I want to get younger and younger. I want to be more playful every year. But, I mean that in business as well.
Sure.
With Blades Creative, the rebrand itself, and I hope this inspires other people to see, it's never too late to change things. It's okay to shape your business over time. In the beginning, I was very young and I needed to put on a specific persona in order to be taken seriously and to get hired by those bigger clients and basically dressing for the job you want. That's kind of how I took it. I kind of took it above and beyond of being serious and making sure I had my paperwork in place and setting boundaries. There were moments that weren't that easy, whether it was a bad client or me not putting those processes in place when I probably should have. So learning a lot of lessons. After 5 years, a lot had happened in my life that molded me as a person. I found that there was work that I enjoyed and work that I didn't enjoy, and how I did that change. Over the last summer, I was okay, you've reached 5 years. You're obviously not going to quit this anytime soon. And if you do, you need to make a decision. How can I make this better for myself in my daily life? Because I'm running myself into the ground, basically, doing work that I don't like. I'm just taking on whatever I can take on. I started to make the decisions of what kind of projects do I actually really enjoy? Who are the kind of clients I really enjoy working with? And what kind of schedule do I want to be working? Really revisiting that. And that's what led to the rebrand, because it changed from me taking on anything and really actually focusing a lot on nonprofits. I did a lot of nonprofit event collateral to now I only do branding and packaging design. And those people are welcome to have a creative partnership with me after they get their branding in place and their packaging in place, if that's what they need. But I don't take on one-off projects anymore like I used to. I don't do event collateral. And then my audience is in the wellness, lifestyle, and creative entrepreneur realm.
So you get the choice of, instead of working for somebody else and having a job working in a, let's say, an ad agency or something mm-hmm. like in graphic design, by being your own entrepreneur and having your own business, you get to choose the kind of business you want as your business
yeah.
owner. You have that freedom to say, I don't much like that project. I'm simply not going to do it.
Yes, yes. And I think you have to have those boundaries for yourself at first. Because if you don't, you're going to go against that and say, yeah, I need the money right now. Or yes, I want to help this person out. A lot of the time, it's really hard, especially for my nonprofits that I kind of fired all of them. And I'm apologizing to them now. But I cared about them a lot, and it was really hard for me to make that decision, but it just didn't make sense with where I wanted the business to go. And I can help them out in other ways in the future, because I'll be taking on hopefully higher end projects. I think in order to enjoy entrepreneurship, you must put those boundaries in place for yourself to say, these are my values. This person's coming to me for a project. Does this fit my values? So you don't just feel like you're telling that person no to say no. You can say, this is what makes me happy, and I'm saying no because neither of us are going to be happy if I take this on.
That's really an important aspect that we certainly discuss with our other clients is, what is your mission? What is the mission of your business? That kind of helps give you that light to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't follow in that mission, is it a nice to have or is it a need to have? To a large degree, that's a really great observation. You almost wish, why didn't I think of that 3 years ago? But you got to balance out what's going on in your day-to-day, what's bringing cash in, and I certainly mm-hmm. understand that. But I appreciate the fact that you've kind of had that epiphany and said, all right, it's time for a reset. Follow my vision and where I want to take my business. And that's a really strong point. Let's jump into branding, if you don't mind.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Whether you've been in business for 6 days or 6 years, in your mind, what is the importance of branding?
I think it's why people choose who to work with, who they're going to work with. I don't think humans do it on purpose, but when it comes to good branding and good marketing, and the two go hand in hand, and I think I understand that more than ever after doing my relaunch, that people pay attention to who's talking to them. And I think branding talks to people. And if that's visual or if it's via copywriting, that's why people are going to hire them. And if you don't have branding in order to talk to your audience with a picture or with imagery, so with a logo, with colors, with photography, with copywriting, if you're not communicating with them that way, how do they know to choose you in the first place? You can have like a really basic website that says what you do, but if it doesn't look eye-catching, which I actually really hate that term, but it's true. That's just like the most basic way to put it. If it doesn't look eye-catching and it doesn't have like an actual meaning to it, people are gonna find somebody who looks better than you. That's what they're gonna see first, and they're gonna choose them.
So in theory, they could be going to someone else that looks better than you, but in practice,
they might suck.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. It's more than just the visual branding, but like, do you actually do what you say you do? For me, it was really important for me to talk to people the way that I actually do business. So I realized after 5 years, which is crazy, that I work very intuitively. And the clients that I work with see what I do as magic. They see it as like creating something out of nothing. That's what I mean. So I really took that and I was able to visually communicate that with my brand. And now I have an example. I have gotten a client who is an Ayurvedic astrologer. She saw my Instagram. She saw my brand. She's reading the language I'm using. That's authentic to what I do and myself. And I got the client that I wanted. And that's because of branding. If you are doing something really well and you have a specific process that you're working with, I think that's what branding should be amplifying. It shouldn't just be saying, I'm a graphic designer. It has to like really get into the customized nitty gritty stuff. And sometimes that takes time. This will get into another question you have for me, which is using Fiverr or a friend. So when somebody comes to me in the first year of their business, especially if they haven't even started it yet, I don't usually encourage working together. I encourage them to go to Fiverr or have somebody do it for cheap because business can change. They might decide 2 years from now that they've figured out how they do things, their process is different, their audience is different. So I actually really encourage people to invest in their brand maybe like 2 to 5 years in.
That's a really great point that you're saying. For a long time, I've said, don't cheap out on your brand. Mm-hmm. But if you're not even really clear what your brand is from day one, and you're still having to listen to your customers and listening to your community and your tribe or whatever you want to call it, just putting a logo out there just is kind of a placeholder, actually does kind of make a lot of sense. And then you're not investing and then having to reinvest a lot. It's, I know I've got a budget for it down the road and take that time and understand, as you've already said, wasn't just Blades Creative. Now it's Blades Creative and Design. It's how you've kind of morphed yourself. But the great part is, and I've always thought this about graphic designers, they are truly artists. But as you made a comment there earlier, it's we're making something out of nothing. You have to talk to them. You have to listen to them. Mm-hmm. You have to kind of figure out what their brand means. Then you have to create that into something that is engaging. The Nike swoosh didn't just come out of nowhere. It was an evolution, I'm sure. You're doing the same thing with your clients. I think you bring a great point. But I kind of want to go back to that, if you don't mind, because you said, all right, we start with a Fiverr or a friend or a nephew's boyfriend's cousin kind of thing.
That's always how it is.
But then how do you then jump in and say, hold on a minute, at what point do you have that, do you need to look out for that aha moment and say, I really need to hire a pro to take it to the next level? What does that look like? So when you jump in and someone's already got a logo out there, what do you then jump in and do so that people know, like a media package or is it a catalog? What does that look like so people should know what to expect when they're working with a graphic designer?
Yes, this is a really fabulous question. You know it's time to work with somebody a little more serious when you don't have the actual logo types you need. If you're trying to get a big banner made and the only logo you have is a JPEG that's low resolution and it's going to come out pixelated and you can't scale it, you probably need to work with a professional at that point. If you don't have a full color version, a black version, and a white version, you're going to struggle with being able to make collateral for yourself using Canva or whatever people are using to like make their own stuff.
So when you say color version, that's where you take standard colors and use that across the entire brand.
Well, yeah, that, but also like just having a basic logo that's in color. So no, I don't recommend like having this, you know, like beautiful rainbow logo that has 1,000 colors in it, but like you might want a full color version of your logo. But you're also going to need a black version and a white version to use in circumstances where a full color one won't work. such as a black and white ad in the newspaper, which I know is very old fashioned to say, but
or a logo on a shirt.
Or a logo on a shirt. You're probably going to need a white version for over photographs, like if you're making a Facebook cover for yourself with a photograph in the background. And what you're referencing is a brand guide. So that is something that you'll get from a professional designer or a professional brand expert. When to get a new brand, when you don't have the pieces you need to have beautiful collateral to market yourself. If you're struggling with that and none of your stuff looks good out in public and people aren't reacting to it and saying like, wow, this business card looks great, or oh my gosh, your logo, like it really spoke to me when I saw it on your website. I'm gonna include copywriting a lot in this because it really is such an important piece, but like in the photography, your photography is so special. Like I really could tell who you were and that's why I hired you. If you're not getting those reactions and you're not being noticed for the brand that you have, it's probably because it's bad and people aren't saying it to you because they're not gonna tell you it looks bad. They're just gonna look at your card and say, cool.
Next.
Yeah.
Swipe to the right.
Yes. Or they're not going to understand what you do, not because the logo has to say everything and the branding has to say everything, but because they didn't care enough about the way your visual brand looked to read further. Done. They're not going to read. They're not going to care about what you do. Then, once you're ready to hire, you start to look at different designers in town. And I would say it's like an interviewing process. Like I always compare it to like dating. You're going to want to find the graphic designer you connect with the most. You're going to have a relationship with this person. You're going to be talking to this person about vulnerable stuff. It's collaborative. You don't just hand over whatever you've done the past 2 years and expect the designer to understand. You're going to be talking to them a lot.
Do you ask them to bring samples of stuff that they see out in the world that is engaging to them? Does that help that process a little bit?
It does. So I would keep your eyes open on the things that you enjoy looking at or the things that you think your audience especially will like. I ask people to give me 3 likes and 3 dislikes of brands that they've noticed. The dislikes are just as important as the likes.
I have them pull in what their competitors are
yes,
doing.
Yes, that too. I do that research for them. So that's a part of my process actually is exactly that. And I think that really helps. I don't think people look into it as deeply as I would like for them to, but the information is there if they want it.
We have a lot of clients that say, oh, I don't have any competitors.
That's a lie.
I almost want to have you say that all over again because too often people are just like, I don't have any competitors. Nobody makes fudge as good as I make fudge.
That's a lie.
There's a lot of really good fudge out there.
Yeah.
That actually brings us to, we're going through the process of how you create a brand and creating imaging and what you've already done. Let's take that one step further. What are some typical mistakes when people are branding their business or their entity or their whole image?
The first one that comes to mind is them branding their business based on what they want rather than what their audience wants. That can be confusing though, because sometimes, for instance, my brand is different because my brand is very much me. If my brand isn't what I want, then I'm not going to be getting the clients I want. But let's say it is a fudge company. They're branding it based on like their grandma's old recipe and they really like the 1950s, blah, blah, blah. But like who they're trying to reach is not that audience. They need to rethink that. The audience research is really important in the sense that it's not all about you. Even though it's your business, it's not all about you. It's about marketing to your audience.
Speaking to what their needs or what their problem is, you're going to fulfill for them.
Yes.
Not what it is. Just because you build it, they will come. It's more, we build it so they'll come watch the great baseball game. That's a really, really great point. You take a look at outside of yourself and talk to customers, even competitors in the field and people that kind of help give you direction. You got to stop and listen to that pretty regularly.
Yeah.
You commented on that earlier about as your business was evolving, what kind of business you wanted and what that looked like. But then you just said, I need to be intentional in my vision, in my approach. But your vision and your approach doesn't necessarily dictate the kind of business that you actually get. It's
right.
Attracting people that are saying, look, I'm willing to invest time, energy, and especially capital in developing a brand and working with someone like you. You have a fresh look at stuff. You don't look at things with a preconceived notion. It's just trying to figure out what they want.
I think so. That brings it to another common misconception that I said earlier. You can't just come to a brand expert and expect them to read your mind. Like, yes, I work very intuitively, but I have people wait a little while for a reason. And it's because they need to have the information ready. They need to know their business really well, because I can't build that business for them. I can't build what they want to show people for them. Like, I can go through workshops with them and kind of like bring things out, but I can't tell them what their services are or who their audience is and who they want to reach is. I can, but like, you might be paying a little extra because that's a lot of work.
It's time. Time is
yeah,
money.
That is time. So I think a misconception is that a designer can just create this image that is going to magically make their business amazing and get all these clients, when they have to put work in ahead of time and during the process to actually create a good brand. I have a lot of points on misconceptions in branding, by the way.
But it does bring up a great point that one of the repetitive discussions I have with clients is, think about your brand and developing that look and how it feels, tastes, and touches.
Yes!
But just as importantly, you made a comment earlier about how you're very goal-oriented and dates are important to you. To me, I invariably will have that A-type person saying, well, I want my graphic design work done in 3 to 4 weeks or 2 to 3 weeks. But to a degree that also, as you're talking with customers, they're either going to engage with you or they're going to go, okay, I can understand that. I'm not going to say lack of seriousness, but you want to have some fun in what you do. But I also want to make sure people need to manage their expectations. I didn't anticipate asking this question, but I want to ask it anyway. When you typically pick up a client, if they've been in business for a couple of years, what is kind of a time frame that they should budget themselves, not just capital, but time, to go from where they are to really having a developed brand? Is it a month? Is it 6 months? Like, ballpark time, so that people can kind of relate what they need to commit to?
Yeah, I would say, and this isn't just with me, this is just the whole branding process, I would say 6 months.
Okay.
6 months is a great runway to take off. But my part of the process, depending on how much I do for you, can take 2 to 3 months. And then there's also the time of hiring me in general. So I take on clients. I might not be able to work with somebody until 2 weeks, a month, 2 months from now, if that makes sense, depending on like how much work I've taken on. I think when somebody is looking to hire somebody to redo their branding or do their branding in general, they need to be looking far ahead of time just in case. Because if there's that designer you really want to work with, but you need your logo in 2 weeks, like, you're not going to get it from that person.
It's not like driving into Valvoline and getting your oil changed
100%,
right then and there.
That's a great way to put it. It's not instant satisfaction at all. It is a long-term process. That person has a business just like you do, where they're prepared ahead of time. They have their clients. So you have to get in on their schedule and make sure you're prepared. With me, once we do sign the contract and we move forward with the actual project, the logo process with the workshop in the beginning, they get their logos at 6 weeks.
And then you build from there.
And then I build from there. And that's about 2 to 3 more weeks. And depending on the package, so there's a bigger package that comes along with everything too that somebody can choose. And then that can be like an email template for them, a pattern that's included, like things that they can really use in their brand to create their website and that kind of stuff.
Have you kind of developed an increasing level of packaging? So it isn't just, all right, you want a logo, we got you a logo. But a logo isn't your brand.
If you don't know your color codes that are used,
right,
what are you going to do? You
right.
can't go on Canva and make your pieces to advertise yourself, or you can't go on Squarespace and use random colors with your new logo. So I offer two different brand packages. Both of them are great for anybody who needs a brand or a rebrand. I only offer one process. I don't do just a logo. And I also don't have somebody say, hey, I have this logo, but can you tweak it? That's not what I do. I go through a specific process. Both of my packages go through the same process. It's just a matter of how much do you want to build your brand out and what your budget is. They're really not that far apart in cost, but one is the basic startup kit for somebody who needs a new brand. And the other one just builds upon that. Again, it's really just about how much you want to get done at one time.
Well, it's vastly different than just someone that goes to a graphic designer and says, create a logo for me, whether it's Fiverr or whatever the case that goes on Fiverr and spends $20 to someone offshore to create something.
Right. So with my packages, I really pride myself on empowering my clients to feel like they can use their brand after. So my bigger package actually offers an offboarding session where I say, this is how you use your logo. I put your stuff in Canva. This is how you use it. This is your pattern. This is where you're going to use it and how you can use it. Just saying like the how, the why, letting them ask the questions they need to ask when they have a moment with me. And so that way they can go out into the world and feel like they're in charge of their brand, because a lot of small businesses who just paid me however much money to rebrand, they can't afford the creative partnership after for me to do all that stuff for them. They have to do it themselves. And so it's really important for me to create that process for them to be a part of.
You're teaching them how to fish.
Yeah, and when they make enough money and they're tired of doing it themselves and they're ready to delegate, they can come back to me and we can work together on like a more intimate level.
You brought up a few times Canva.
It's a thing.
Let's do it real quick. For those of us that don't know what Canva is, what is Canva?
Canva is a great program that is not for graphic designers, but it's for the everyday person who is trying to advertise themselves. Funny enough, I'm not great at Canva, but I'm like really good at the Adobe suite. But you can make social media images and you can make flyers and brochures. It allows people to put their typefaces in, their logos, their color scheme, and it's all right there. And it just makes it really easy for business owners to create pretty stuff to put out into the world that is on brand.
Well, there's your tidbit, people, that Canva kind of helps stupid people like me not look completely stupid.
I mean, I'm totally stupid in Canva, so.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I have one more question for you, and it is, what advice or recommendations would you give to other small businesses about business?
Don't give your services away for free. I've been a big believer in that from the beginning. In business, there are a lot of people who want to own a business, who think it's the ideal way to live, or like that it's so free.
It's so romantic.
It's super romanticized because I love it and it's something I'm meant to do. But I have to be honest and say, not everybody is meant to be an entrepreneur. You have to put a lot of work in. You don't have one boss. You have 10 to 100, depending on if it's your client or your audience, or like if you have a retail store, like every single person who walks into your store is almost like your boss. So I think there's a lot of freedom that comes with being an entrepreneur, but I think if somebody is considering it, just know that it is so much work and it is 100% the hard way.
But do you love it?
I 100% love it. I am passionate about it. I would live and die for it.
That's such a great way to finish this. So to everybody listening in, thanks for your time. And we hope we found this helpful. To Gabby and Blades Creative and Design, thank you so very much for your time. You are just an amazing person, and we really love you to death.
Thanks. I love y'all.
Thanks. Have a great day, folks.
Thanks for listening to How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. If you like today's episode, we invite you to subscribe to our podcast and to take a moment and rate it on the mainstream podcast platforms. The How to Business podcast is produced by Pod Topics in collaboration with the SBDC of Chattanooga. To learn more about Pod Topics, visit podtopics.com.